Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek, glad to have you along with me. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes. I hope you can hang out with me as we talk about the fact that sometimes in life we got to do things even though we might be afraid, that we might be experiencing fear. That's a problem, isn't it? Because one of my weaknesses, and I think it's a common one, is that if I am afraid, this has always been a weakness for me. If I'm afraid, I tend to not want to do things. You ever have that? You think like, well, I'm scared. I'm afraid this might not work out. Therefore, the easiest thing to do is what? To avoid the potential fearful situation. But unfortunately, what happens when we do that is we often move ourselves outside of God's will for us, because what he'll often do is ask us to do things, you know, plant these thoughts or put us into predicaments that inspire fear or that could cause fear, knowing that if we take that step, like Peter did out of the boat, we're going to grow in our faith and we'll learn to trust him more. But what happens is sometimes we put up that barrier and we're afraid to take that first step, which can be really scary sometimes. And as a result, we never grow. We never grow in our relationship with him. We never learn to trust him more. We never learn the joy of stepping out in faith and realizing that he'll provide for us, that he'll take care of us. You know, in order to figure that out, you got to take that first step with no net and trust that he's going to catch you. But how do you do that? How do you get past that point? Well, I want to talk about a Bible verse that was composed by St. Paul, where he was dealing with a scary or frightening situation, knowing that he was headed into problems, but he did it anyway. And how do we get past that point? So we're just going to let the Holy Spirit take this wherever he wants to take it, just like he did on yesterday's show. By the way, I hope you enjoyed yesterday's show. I hope you're feeling a little less anxious. We'll do that again at some point. We'll talk about anxiety. We'll address it. We'll come up with some antidotes or ways to move on. I'm not professing to have all the answers, because I don't. Just before the program, my wife and I were discussing something, and she was asking me what I recommend, and I just didn't have anything. So I said a prayer to the Holy Spirit, and I gave it my best shot. You know, sometimes that's what it takes. If the Lord has a big revelation for you, or if he wants you to do something a different way than you plan to do it, say a prayer. Say, Lord, this is what I plan to do. Let me know. If you want me to do something else, please, you know, be very forceful with me, or be very clear, because I need to be hit over the head with a sledgehammer. He responds to that. And, you know, remember also that if you proceed, if you go ahead not really sure of what you are supposed to do, but you pray about it, you have an idea, you are somewhat cautious, he could always fix it if you make the wrong move. Last week, EWTN aired a repeat of a series that I did with Johnette Benkovic about finding God's will. What does God want me to do? How to figure out what God wants me to do. And one of the things we discussed, and this was based on some of the principles in my book, Faith, Hope, and Clarity, How to Know God's Will. One of the principles we discussed is, even if you make the wrong decision after discerning, you still do the wrong thing, God can fix it. We have to trust that he is capable of writing straight with crooked lines. You know, we got to give him the benefit of the doubt. If we, in good conscience, try to do the right thing, try to please him, try to do his will, and are really trying to make the choice that best serves him or best gives him glory and honor, and we mess up and we make a wrong choice, you better believe that he can fix it or bring good out of that. Nothing is final with God. Most of us can look back in over the course of our lives and realize how many times we messed up, and yet somehow God managed to bring good out of those mistakes that we made with our lives. He can do that. So as long as you try your best to do his will, trust that even if you mess up or make the wrong decision, he can still fix it. Nothing is ever final with the Lord. He's definitely a God of second chances. So let's trust him to do that. But I think it's important for us to find ways to break through those walls of fear that prevent us from following the Lord. And I'm not talking about being irresponsible. I'm not talking about taking unnecessary risks. But I'm talking about doing what he is calling you to do. Because a lot of us are stopped in our tracks and not even doing the basic things that he is calling us to do because it's too scary. I'm afraid to read at Mass. I feel like I'm supposed to be a lector at Mass, but I don't want to do it because I might mess up. I had these thoughts when I started to get involved in parish ministry. I started to be very nervous about what happens if I trip and I look stupid. Well, eventually I came to the conclusion that my service for the Lord is more important than me looking stupid. But these fears do stop us. So let's try to let the Spirit lead us today. We'll talk about some of the words of St. Paul, and we'll see where this goes. That's what I like to do. I don't want to, this is one of those shows, and I like these shows because I have a general idea, but I really need the Spirit to provide the details. And he always does. He always seems to come through. So let's give him a chance to do that. Hey, by the way, don't forget, you can sign up for my daily email devotionals at followingthetruth.com. The daily email is called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. If you're a subscriber, great. If you're not and you want to get on board, all you need to do is supply your email address. Just go to followingthetruth.com. It'll be very obvious. You'll see a little button where you can click to sign up for the daily emails. Also, you can pre-order my new book right now. It's called Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of the Holy Spirit in living a Christian life. You and me, we just can't do it on our own. The Lord Jesus never expected us to do it on our own. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. So we have his Spirit in us to help us to show greater love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All those things that we struggle with each day, the Holy Spirit wants to help us with, but we have to give him permission to work in our lives. So that's what Let Go of Anger and Stress is all about. I recommend you sign up because I do expect, based on the popularity of Give Up Worry for Lent, which is sold out. I mean, I'll tell you, God has been so good to me with that book. He has blessed that book tremendously. That has sold out for the past two Lenten seasons, so this is the first book of mine that's been out since then. I expect the first print run to sell out. I mean, that's what I do expect. So if you want to get a copy, make sure you pre-order now. You can go to followingthetruth.com. There's a direct link to Amazon where you can pre-order your copy, and you will get it as soon as the book is available. They are advertising an October 3rd release date. Almost always the book comes out earlier than that date. So I would expect the latter part of September the book will be available. But just to pre-order it now, and that'll ensure that you get a copy when it comes out. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go for that. All righty, time to pray, right? Let's turn to our Father in heaven, who's waiting to hear from us, who's always available for us, who created the entire universe out of nothing, who loves us with an unconditional love, who can handle any problem that we ever face. He can handle all that, and he is waiting to hear from us. So let's turn to him now and begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we turn to you today. We turn to you with gratitude, forgiving for the fact that you brought us to this point in time. You're allowing our heart to continue to beat. Our brain is functioning. We are able to be in your presence. We are able to breathe air at this moment in time. Obviously, we are alive. We're functioning. Father, we are so grateful that you have provided for us, for all of our needs through the years. If not, we wouldn't be here. So that's proof positive that you love us and that you will care for us. Father, we turn to you today and we give you praise. Give you praise for your incredible job of creation. We give you praise for your incredible ability to make things work for the good, even though it seems disastrous sometimes when we look at the events of our lives and in the world, but yet somehow we always see good come out of these seemingly hopeless sets of circumstances. Or I shouldn't say we always do, because sometimes we can't perceive it, but so many times we see good come out of what we think is just a horrible situation. Father, open our eyes to see more of that. Help us to see your hand in everything that happens in our lives and the lives of those around us. We ask, Father, that you continue to draw us closer to yourself. We, your children, help us to love you more. Help us to be willing to serve you more. Grant us a greater knowledge of you. Help us to be able to see you in everyone and everything that is around us. Father, this day we want to serve you. Please let us know what you need. Let us know what you can do to help us. We ask you specifically today, Father, to help us get over our fears. And I pray all of us, Father, that we may be able to not be afraid or to summon up the courage given to us through your Holy Spirit, to summon up the courage to overcome our fears and step out of the boat when we feel that's what you are calling us to do. Father, we pray for an end to the coronavirus. We pray for all who are affected by the virus in any way, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. We pray for their healing and relief from the effects of this virus. We pray for unity, that the world may unite, that the hatred will stop. Father God, let us know what we can do to make a difference, to make a change, to spread love instead of hatred. Father, we pray for all of our needs. Please grant us what we need. And I ask you this day to give us a special outpouring of your Holy Spirit for me, that I can figure out the words, figure out the message, go down the path you want me to go down on this show, that I may be able to speak to the heart of anybody listening and provide good news and hope instead of despair, discouragement, depression. And Father, I ask that you open all of our minds and all of our hearts, including mine, so that we can hear your message, respond to it, rejoice over it, and go out and do what you want us to do. All these things, Heavenly Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, thanks for praying with me again. This is Gary Zimak. We do this program called Following the Truth every Monday through Friday. I'm glad you're listening. If you're not a regular listener, why not? I want you to listen. I would hope you would listen. If this is your first time, please hang out with me. Let's do this together. Monday through Friday, 30 minutes a day. In addition to this podcast, I do the Gary Zimak Show, which is it's a 30-minute weekly podcast. And that one focuses on the Sunday Mass readings. So you can listen to both of them and really have 6 episodes of me a week. I don't know if that's good. I don't know if that's bad. If you like me, it's good. If you don't like me, you're probably not listening anyway. So I'm assuming if you're listening, you like me. But seriously, I'm with you throughout the week. Tomorrow, I'll do my weekly segment on EWTN Radio on the Sunrise Morning Show. Hope you'll be able to check that out. That's 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm going to be talking about this verse that we're discussing here on the show today. This is from the Acts of the Apostles. So, by the way, I hope you can tune into that. Sunrise Morning Show, 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time on EWTN Radio. But you're going to get a preview of what we'll be discussing on the show tomorrow. But what's cool about that show is Matt Swaim, who does the interview with me, Matt always takes it in an unexpected direction. And just for the record, we never rehearse what we're going to say. We really, really, really let the Spirit lead us. And oftentimes we'll go down a path that is totally unexpected, but much better than either one of us could come up with. Alrighty, the verse in question, you know, I'm talking about today, how do we get beyond our fears? How do we do it even though we're afraid? Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 22. And these are the words of St. Paul. And he said this, "And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, bound in the Spirit, not knowing what shall befall me there." Paul did not know what was going to be happening to him in Jerusalem. But he expected to have some troubles, some difficulties, some challenges. But he was called, he felt called by the Spirit to go there. He didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but, you know, he had a pretty substantial history of running into difficulties, into troubles. But he got used to the idea that the Lord would provide for him in some way, depending on the circumstances. Whatever the circumstances were, Paul trusted that the Lord would be able to provide for his needs. That's trust in divine providence. Now, how do you get that? Well, you get it. It doesn't, for most of us, and I can't say it might be different for you than it is for me, but for myself and for many people that I know, the trust in God, our trust in God grows. In other words, I've got to take little steps, trust him, make a conscious act of trust, and then he comes through, and then I have a feeling of trust or a feeling of confidence in him, which will enable me to take two steps next time. You know, one step this time, and he comes through, or my life doesn't fall apart, I'll be more inclined to trust him even more the next time. But, you know, you just remember that trust is a matter of choice. It's a decision. It's not necessarily a feeling. You can choose to trust even though you're not feeling confident or not feeling that trust. And you know, we do it all the time. We do it all the time. We see a chair. We sit down in the chair and we expect that the chair will hold our weight. We do it. I've taken many airplanes in my life. I've taken public transportation. I don't know the pilot, I don't know the driver, but I trust that they're going to take me where they're supposed to take me. And I'm sure you've done that too. You get takeout, you go to McDonald's, you get a hamburger. You trust that they're not going to poison you. We trust all the time. Trust is when we literally operate by faith. To have faith in somebody means we are expressing trust in them. I can't see it with my eyes, but I believe it. Through faith. I don't know what's in that pack of cookies that I opened up today, but I trust that they're not poison. They're not going to hurt me. You know, but we do this. Medication. I trust that the pharmacist knew what he was doing when he filled my prescription. Trusting in God is the same thing. Many, you know, when I used to do my daily radio show on Holy Spirit Radio, I would have guests on. And we would contact the guests by telephone, and we did the show. It was early. It was 7 a.m. Eastern time. And we had guests on the West Coast and throughout the, you know, around the country. And the first time, some of these guests, I was nervous and I would have doubts. Are they really going to answer the phone? Because, you know, live radio, that's one of the joys of live radio. If a guest doesn't answer, and the guest is not available, then you got to kill 10 minutes of time, which can be an eternity when you're doing a radio show. But you get to know who you can trust, who you can't trust. I know there were certain guests. Excuse me, I have to adjust my chair. I was a little uncomfortable there. I had certain guests on the program that proved to be not reliable. And there were a few times when I had to say, you know what, let's forego the future appearances because I couldn't trust them. But there were others that I'm thinking of a few people in particular who lived in Southern California, and they would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, their time, reliably, faithfully, without a doubt, time after time, and I would learn to trust them. It's the same way with God. You've got to take that initial step. You got to take that initial step out of the boat, as Peter did. When Jesus invited him to walk on the water, Peter didn't know for sure that the water would support his body weight until he did it. You know, the common sense would tell him as a fisherman that it would not. But the appearance of Jesus and that encounter with Jesus and seeing him before him enabled Peter to take that step out of the boat. So Paul suffered a lot. But Paul realized that the Lord had a plan for his life. And that the Lord would provide for his needs. Paul was not always living in the best circumstances. He was under house arrest. He was imprisoned. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten with snakes. I mean, the guy had a tough life. But he knew that he talked about the idea that he was content in all situations. But I want to share something with you from 2 Corinthians, Paul's words. Again, the Spirit's leading me to do this, to give you an idea of what he went through. Now, this is a guy that was going to Jerusalem in that reading we were talking about, not knowing what to expect, but he did it anyway. You know, an uncertain future that's scary for many of us, an uncertain future with the possibility of potentially unpleasant things happening, that's even worse. You know, sometimes we don't know and we assume it's going to be bad, or we're afraid it's going to be bad, but sometimes we know this meeting we have to go to, it's going to be unpleasant because we know the participants, right? You ever been in that situation? But you realize that it's the right thing to do, and then you need to get prepared. You need to pray, and you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. But listen to this. This is St. Paul in 2 Corinthians, in case you think that he may have not had it that difficult. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, Paul said this, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Why, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from so deadly a peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again." Isn't that amazing? So when Paul went through that horrible situation in Asia, and there is no real explanation of what exactly that was, but it didn't sound too pleasant. He was despairing. He was on the point of despair. Somehow he made it through, and that enabled him to take greater risks in the future, or to always trust that God will be there. And I really think that's the message I want to give to you today. God will provide. It might not be fun. Jesus told us, John 16:33, "In this world you will have problems." So he doesn't try to pretend that we won't have problems in this life. "But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." He's bigger than the problems we face. So that does not mean we will not have to suffer. That doesn't mean we will not run into opposition. That doesn't mean everything is going to be a bed of roses. Not always. But as long as we walk with Jesus, we can have the peace that we need. And according to Jesus, our Father in heaven knows what we need, and he'll provide for us. You've heard all this before, and you're saying, yeah, Gary, I've heard this before, and I really understand where you may be coming from. Now, you may hear what I'm saying, and you say, that's great, Gary, you're giving me confidence. But you, on the other hand, might say, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I've heard all that, but I'm not feeling it. Did you ever get like that? I'm just not feeling it. I know the Lord's supposed to provide, but I'm not feeling it. So then we got to rely on our intellect. You'll hear me talk about that a lot, because it's something that I have to fall back on. Sometimes I don't feel God's love. Sometimes I don't feel the presence of Jesus. Even when I receive him in the Eucharist, I don't always feel him. Sometimes when I pray, especially when I pray in desperation for a family member, for a healing, for a physical healing, for an intention that's really important, and I don't get a response, my initial reaction is, depending on how bad it is, and I've been through some in the past several months that really stretched me, the response has been, "Lord, it's almost as if you're not real. I don't feel that you are real." And you know what? You feel that way, go ahead and say it. Go ahead and tell him that. Have that dialogue. Bring it to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I don't feel you're real." Sometimes he'll respond to that by making himself very real. My belief or my experience has been that generally what you will get is, in your mind, you'll recall through your faith just how real Jesus is. And you'll remember his words when he said, "I will be with you always." And that he expressed his love for us. And you'll think that he died on the cross for you. You know, you'll think these concepts in your head, these beliefs. God is all love, and Jesus said, I have loved you as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. You know, you'll think these truths of the faith, but you might not necessarily feel them in your heart. But then the head is good enough. The intellect, that's where the faith begins. And eventually it'll filter down to your heart. Sometimes it takes a day or two. But that's what generally happens with me. When I'm not feeling his presence, it'll pop in my head. Yes, but he said he is with me always. He's everywhere. Psalm 139 tells me there's nowhere I can go to get away from God. Okay, I know that, right? Don't feel it, but I know it. And generally, that's how I'll start to feel better. And I'll say, okay, I know it in my head. That's good enough for now. You can't be led by your feelings in your relationship with Jesus. You just can't, because you're going to be... It's going to kill your prayer life if you follow your feelings. If you only pray when you feel like it or feel his presence, you're going to get really depressed and probably stop praying. So that's where the faith is important. So I hope I inspired you today with the words of St. Paul that sometimes the Lord's going to ask you to do things and you will be afraid. But there's always a reason. You don't want to stagnate in your faith and in your relationship with him. And if you never have the opportunity to trust him, your faith isn't going to grow and your relationship with him will stagnate. It's never going to get any deeper. You need to see what he can do. You need to give him a chance to perform a miracle in your life. You need to be able to witness his provision for you when it seems like everything is falling apart. Give him that chance. Please, trust me. Trust me on that. I've been there. I've done that. I continue to do that. Give him the benefit of the doubt. He's always going to be there for you. Hey, guess what? I got to run. We are out of time. Once again, you are awesome. Thanks for hanging out with me. I look forward to being back with you tomorrow, God willing. If the Lord gives me a day tomorrow, another day tomorrow, I plan to be here. I hope you will as well. Don't forget the Sunrise Morning Show tomorrow morning, 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. You can hear yours truly chat about St. Paul and trusting even when you may be afraid. If you need anything, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Have a wonderful night. God bless you. And I look forward to talking with you next time. See ya.